Natural Way, everybody. This is the show that exposes the chemical pushers, the environmental thugs, and the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of common sense gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan. Being a little rough there, but that's okay. That's all true. Telephone number to be with me is 866-444-3478. 866-444-3478. I'll give you a little report before I go back to the phone on my stem cell treatment that I had. Can't tell that, you know, I ever had a sore knee at this point. It's been fun. And the thing that I didn't even realize until it got better was that I couldn't kneel. I couldn't kneel down to do my gardening. I was trying to remove some suckers that were coming up from a crepe myrtle. By the way, that's a report I need to give you right there, too. And before I had this work done, I had to bend over at my waist. I couldn't squat down to work on these suckers that were coming up. Since the stem cell therapy, and this stem cell therapy that we're talking about here is very, very unusual. It's not what you're hearing a lot of other people recommend in using their own fat cells or placenta or something like that. This is umbilical cord. The cells can be counted specifically, very high quality, cleaner, just incredible how well it works. And I had a torn meniscus, that's healed, and the Baker cyst behind my knee is gone. So if you've had any kind of problem like that or any kind of pain anywhere in your body that's been an issue, this is something I'd recommend that you look into. You can go meet with a doctor, have a consultation, no cost, $200 value, and they'll explain how it works and what it costs and the whole deal. No obligation at all. All you have to do is call this number, 800-705-6006. 800-705-6006. And the crepe myrtle report is this. This is a crepe myrtle. I've talked about it briefly, but I need to keep you apprised of it because it's something I get asked about a lot. It was suckering from the base quite badly. Generally, you expose the flare and that problem goes away. Well, this was a tree that was grown in the one of those grow bags, you know, the fabric grow bag. And when you grow trees in those bags, you get real dense roots, but you get so many roots growing in there that sometimes you don't get the big flares starting to develop. You just have a lot of small ones, and which is fine, but the one thing that can come from that is this suckering. And it just dawned on me finally that that's what it was all about. And when I would cut the suckering back down, it would leave this little knobby growth that almost looks like a canker. In fact, it could be. Well, what I did was I got a chisel and a hammer, and I took those little knobby growths where those suckers were coming off of the flare, off of the base of the plant. I just cut them completely away, and the suckering has just about completely stopped. So I have some photographs. We didn't do video of it, but I did still photographs of all of it, and I'll be showing once we get the thing completely finished, and it's obvious that the flares are really starting to expand now. Oh, and that's the other thing I did. A lot of the small roots that were growing out radially from the base of the tree, I took them out too. I had to use the chisel and took them off and just left the larger ones that were starting to form the nice big flares. So if you've had an issue with suckering like that, that's one thing that you can do. On the other hand, one of the common ones I get, in fact, I got it just a week or so ago, if you have suckers coming off of the roots all throughout the drip line, like some live oaks will do, I don't have anything for you. There's nothing you can do. That is a genetic predisposition that trees can have, apparently. The only thing I've ever seen is that using organic fertilizers and composts and the amendments that we recommend tends to make it less but won't get rid of it. You're always going to have it to some degree. Yaupon hollies will do that, and live oaks will do it very badly. One of the yaupon hollies at my house, after starting the organic program, the suckering stopped completely on that plant, but I haven't seen it work to completely stop the growth on that you sometimes give on live oaks. What do you do? Well, you just mow it, and it ends up being a ground cover of live oak. That's what ends up happening. Let's see what Sue is up to in Racine, Wisconsin. Hello, Sue.
Hi, thank you for I got through. I haven't been able to get through since I moved up here from Illinois. Anyway, a way out guess, but the leaf looks on the mystery plant looks identical to poison ivy.
No, it's a tree. I thought I mentioned that. It's not poison ivy. It is a tree, but I appreciate you.
Oh, because the leaf looks just like it. All right, one question, please. Mm-hmm. When is the best time to transplant a buddleia bush up here?
Well, the best time to transplant plants anywhere in the country is when they're dormant, at least to some degree. So I would say that the perfect time for you is coming up as soon as you see the fall color start to appear on plants. And you don't have to wait until the plant is completely dormant, but you want that process to have started because everything's kind of shutting down inside the plant, and that's when they're shocked the least. So coming up pretty soon.
I didn't realize how big it gets, and I need to move it over. So I thought, oh no, it's doing well, but a lot of big monarch butterflies come to it, so I'm thrilled.
Well, that's
all
great.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Garrett.
Yeah, if you move it when it's going into its dormancy like that, or even later, as long as the ground's not frozen, you'll probably have pretty close to 100% success chance. Okay.
Oh, wonderful! Thank you so much. You have a good week now.
Okay, you too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to New Jersey and see what Wally's doing in Jersey. Hey, Wally.
Hey, Howard. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Well, I'm calling in actually a pretty simple question, I think, but I think it'll benefit me and maybe some others as well, too. I've been using your program for a couple of years, but I was looking online and couldn't find how often to do the foliar and drench fertilizing for my vegetable garden.
Well, it depends on what else you're doing, Wally. The thing that I need to warn people about the most is if they are using the Garrett juice mixture or something similar in a foliar feeding program, you can actually keep the plants growing, and that can be the total fertility program. But it's not a good idea, because if you do that, what it does is it makes the roots lazy. You know, you're getting so much nutrition in through the foliage that the roots aren't needed as much, and they kind of kick back, and it can lead to some problems. So I would say that the foliar feeding of, you know, spraying the foliage should be done about once a month at the most. Some people will do once every 2 weeks, but that's probably overkill. Once a month is probably enough. And then the feeding of the soil with the drench of the liquid or with dry or both, which is probably the best, you ought to do about 3 times in a growing season on a crop like that you're trying to push a lot of production.
Okay. And I am using the Garrett juice foliar and the drench, so I'm using those.
That's fine.
Should I ever go back with the bed preparation? I did this 2 years ago, but is there ever time to go back after the growing season and re-add any of those amendments?
If you're harvesting and harvesting and harvesting produce and then throwing the plants in the compost pile, in other words, you keep pulling nutrients away by getting rid of, you know, what grew there, it will eventually need to have a little bit more of all of the amendments added. Now, how often that happens, it'll vary with everybody's soil, depending on how healthy the soil was. But every couple of years, I'd probably add a little bit more of all your amendments, and especially the cornmeal, because it has such a great disease-fighting power for you.
Okay. Well, that really helps me out. I appreciate that. Howard, have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, glad it's going well. Call us again,
Wally.
See ya. Let's go to, and the telephone number is 866-444-3478. Here's, well, it's going to be Kathy, but let's wait for this break to be over so we're not rushed. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Website's dirtdoctor.com. We're still looking for the answer to the mystery photograph. That's a tree that changes to red color pretty soon. Take a look at it and see if you can identify it. And I'll be back right after this.
Regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the wave of the future. All the experts agree that stem cells are the future of medicine, your personal health, and even your longevity.
I shattered my elbow, was experiencing chronic pain. Nothing seemed to help. I said yes to stem cell therapy, and now I'm pain-free. Range of motion improved, and I'm able to do things I never could have imagined. I have my life back.
For a complimentary consultation, a $200 value, call now, 800-705-6006.
Lava sand is a critical part of the Dirt Doctor's natural organic recommendations for bed prep and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. American Rio is the only high-quality lava product we have seen with significant paramagnetism. Their Maverick Lava Soil Amendment will dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. It can be delivered directly to you by one-ton tote. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752. Or go to AmericanRio.com.
Farms and greenhouses throughout America rely on BioSafe systems for healthier plants and better yields. You too can enjoy longer blooms and better results in your own backyard and garden with BioSafe weed control, disease control, and plant food. BioSafe Systems believes products should be effective and safe for use around pets, children, and wildlife. Our products are certified organic, so you can feel good about using them in your own backyard. Visit us online today at www.biosafe.net to learn more. BioSafe Systems, simply sustainable, always effective.
As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that's a big deal because glutathione is our body's master antioxidant, repairing cell damage caused by environmental toxins and aging. RegActive's probiotic strain ME3 is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in the body. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, known for introducing Dr. O'Hara's fantastic probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Dirt Doctor advice, look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, let's see where we need to go here to get caught up. Kathy, I believe, in Fort Worth, it is your turn.
Yes, I called you a couple of months ago about a pecan tree that usually is great, but then last year it had molded nuts inside of it. This year it was looking great, which and you recommended the sick tree treatment, which we've been kind of doing all these years. This year it had all these wonderful looking pecans, and then suddenly they're all gone. And the few that I found, they again are molded inside. Is it all the rain or what?
Well, that could be part of it, Kathy. Some varieties of pecan trees are just real prone to disease, especially scab, what's called scab disease, and there should be black spotting on the husk if that's the disease. Are you doing any preventative spraying, not with toxic chemicals, but with the kind of stuff that I recommend?
No, we hadn't, but we treat the ground real well. We, you know, mow it and leave it there and use compost and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, that's good. Unfortunately, some varieties are just really prone to the disease issues.
Yeah, we've got one tree that's never good, but this one has been good for several years. But then last year and this year, it just sucked.
Yeah. Went downhill. Well, all I can tell you is keep working on the soil, on the sick tree treatment. Is the flare dramatically exposed?
Yeah, it's definitely exposed.
Okay. Can you send me any pictures of it? Do you have any way to do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Send me pictures of the base and the top of the tree and the nuts, the kind of symptoms that are on the nuts when they're falling off, and let me see if I see anything else. The only thing I could suggest is that the spray program, adding that to your soil treatment, and part of that being a hydrogen peroxide spray, something like the BioSafe. You know, that's a fungal disease that you're dealing with, and the hydrogen peroxide will knock it off. But you'll have to do it on kind of a regular preventative basis. But send me some photographs, and maybe I'll see something else. But I think next year you need to plan on when you spray your Garrett juice, you add the hydrogen peroxide to the spray.
Okay. Well, we'll try that. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Let's go next to Centerville, Texas, and talk to Margaret. Hey, Margaret.
Hello.
What's up?
Well, say, thanks to your advice not long ago, I got the fish blend delivered to my gate.
Well, good.
After I had looked and looked and looked for a source of just by the gallon, because it was sprayed out with, you know, a large amount on my pastures, but liquid or garlic oil was added to what was sprayed on the pastures, I think 1 ounce per acre to repel grasshoppers and armyworms and such. And I have not been able to find that to mix with the fish blend that I got to put out on the smaller areas. Do I need to have the garlic oil, or if pests come, are they going to come to the areas where it's not been sprayed?
Well, I don't know that 1 ounce per acre is going to do all that much good. Have you used that that way in the past and seen some good results?
No. It was offered with the large amount of the fish blend mm-hmm. that was sprayed out on the pastures. And one could just, you know, pay to have 1 ounce into the mix of the spray over the pastures. And so I don't think
that's going to hurt
anything.
Well, why
not? And I did that.
Yeah, I think that's fine. If you're doing it now without it and you see a difference, it would really tell us something that it would be worth doing.
Worth doing without it?
No, and worth doing with it.
But I can't find a source of that. And they did not offer that Stuart Frankie, whatever organic, you know.
Yeah,
Medina. They did not have that. I can't find.
Where'd you get it to begin with? Where'd you get it when you did use it?
I can't remember the name, but an individual who is a part of a larger over the state of Texas, and they deliver the mix of the fish blend.
Well, let's see how it works without the garlic in it. If you see a difference, just go back to whoever had the product with it mixed in there.
Uh-huh.
If Medina won't do it, I'm surprised that they wouldn't do it for you. Did you talk to them?
I haven't been able to find garlic oil even anywhere.
Well, it's pretty available. There's a product called Garlic Barrier.
Uh-huh.
And the Good Natured brand has garlic in their line, and it's distributed, you know, right here in the Dallas, Fort Worth area. So look for that. Good Natured. Farm stores can have it and get it for you if they don't have it in stock. Look for Good Natured or Garlic Barrier, either one of those two.
Good Natured, Garlic Barrier.
Good Natured or Garlic
Barrier. Feed stores and even the pharmacy who has it in capsules. So I've just not been able to find it. But I hesitated to put the fish blend out without that, since the pastures have been covered with the fish blend with it.
Well, you can get it. It's not that hard to find. Do you get our newsletter?
No.
Okay.
Someone gets it on their computer, you know, for me.
Okay. Well, the last newsletter that we did covered the sources for products. That was the subject.
The last newsletter?
The last newsletter, yeah. So take a look at that. And
okay.
It's got phone numbers. It's got all kinds of stuff. I'm going to have to run, but that's where you can find the products. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered.
Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
The Medina Corporation, led by the Stuart Frankie family, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and many soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator stimulates the soil biology and plant roots. And all the Medina products help all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. The Medina products help you spend your money wisely, increasing production while improving the environment. All Medina products are free of toxic chemicals, including the commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus. For the proper care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Conveniently available at many hardware, nursery, and feed stores, Medina Natural Organic Products are a Dirt Doctor recommendation. 50 years young and still environmentally friendly, it's MedinaAg.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Let's go to Matt in Fort Worth next. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Mr. Garrett, I just purchased a house this year and over in Fort Worth, mm-hmm. and I thought I'd try native Texas grass, and I've never used buffalo grass before, and I'm starting to get this weird weed coming into my grass that almost looks like a St. Augustine, and it clumps, and it has a fat leaf like that, but it just slowly spreads and clumps. Hmm. Doesn't get tall or anything.
Does it have a tall seed head?
No, I never see a feet.
You may have Illinois bundle weed or one of those kind of weeds. There's a product out there that might solve your problem, Matt. It's the only selective organic herbicide on the market.
Okay.
It's called Agrilawn Crabgrass Killer, A-G-R-A, okay. Agrilawn Crabgrass Killer, and it is basic, believe it or not, the active ingredient in it is cinnamon. Cinnamon and, okay. and baking soda is the kind of the base of it. You wet the area down, the whole area. If you right. can't just spot treat those individual things, and it sounds like that may be the case. You wet the whole area, you dust this material out, and you want to put out as fine a dust as you can. The product comes in a kind of a shaker can, and the holes okay. are a little bit too big. We've talked to the owner about it several times, and he's still looking for a better way to put it out. I use something like a turkey baster or one of those little green bulb things that puffs or something
okay.
like the device sure. called the dustin miser. So you put this fine dust out there on this wet turf, wet grass.
Okay.
It turns the weeds black and kills them and doesn't hurt the grass.
Well, that's great, because I've heard there's things that you can put on the grass that will kill the buffalo grass, and that grass isn't cheap.
No, well, this stuff won't hurt the buffalo grass, but just do it lightly. Don't do it heavy. Do it lightly in the areas that are the biggest problem, so you can see whether it's going to, you know, brown.
Now, is there a temperature time involved or anything?
No, you can do it during the growing season. I think it would work less effectively in the cool. So go ahead and give it a try. Do it in one area. Do it a little bit gently so you can get a feel for it. It may yellow the buffalo a little bit or something like that. So just do a test area and see how it works for you, and then go into the bigger job.
And can I go ahead and just do the cornmeal gluten, stuff like that, in the pre-emergent?
The only way the pre-emergent works is if it goes out before the weed seed germinates. So you'd normally do that in the spring.
Okay.
Early spring. Okay.
All right. Came in great. I used your product, your Garrett Juice and Super Thrive, and the grass came in wonderful.
Okay, good.
And I started seeing these wonderful weeds.
Knock them out.
All right.
I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The bundleweed may be what he's dealing with there. A photograph, if you're still listening, send us a photograph of that, and I'll make sure that is what it was, and may have another recommendation for you. Here's Sarah in Kaufman, Texas. Hello, Sarah.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
I've got a bunch of little mesquites coming up in my back pasture. How do I get rid of them without pouring diesel and poison on them?
Well, it's a complicated kind of thing. If you've got little bitty mesquite trees coming up, that probably means that you tried to kill out some bigger ones at some point in time, or whoever owned the property before you. Is that the case?
Well, I've been mowing them down, but all the old farmers say don't shred them, kill them. And so I'm just trying to figure out what to do. I've been mowing them for a long time, but they just keep coming up.
Well, if you keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing them, and you have good native grasses and all, you'll finally get enough competition going to for them to use up their stored energy and die out. Most people make a mistake with mesquites in that they cut down the big trees thinking they're a problem, and then those little bushy things come up all over the place from dormant buds, and they are the real problem. They create a terrible problem. If you do have to put something on them and kill them, the thing that Bob Webster even steps over the line and recommends to people sometimes down in the hill country is the diesel and molasses mixture.
Oh, okay.
Diesel actually breaks down, microbes break it down and decontaminate it fairly quickly. That combination will kill them out if you need to go that route. But the best advice...
Spray it on them?
You pour it on the stump, drilling holes in the stump and pouring it on the stump is how that's used.
Oh, okay.
The little tiny ones,
what do you do? Like a foot tall.
Same thing. Yeah. You can put it, right on the plant.
Oh, okay.
Or you can use saltpeter, which is potassium nitrate. But the main thing is just keep mowing them down, and they'll eventually use up their energy and die out.
Okay, well, I've been doing that, but all the old farmer guys say, don't shred them. And I'm like, why not? Why can't I just shred them? And I've been shredding them. And they're getting less and less, but they're still there every year. They come up.
I agree with you. I think any kind of competition, any kind of disturbance you give them is going to force them to use a little bit more of their energy, and they're going to start dying out. I agree.
Okay. Great. I'm going to keep mowing then.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
The main thing, though, for anybody listening that has big mesquite trees, if you leave the big mesquite trees alone, you won't have the little ones coming up. They will not grow the little bushy things around big bull mesquites. You know, they have, I don't know if it's allelopathy or it's just a competition thing. It's probably allelopathy to some degree. They just don't want younger trees coming in and being competitive. And so you just don't see them growing until you cut the big tree down, and then all those little ones come on like gangbusters. Leave the big trees. They never become a problem. Next is Crystal. Ozarks, where are you there exactly, Crystal?
I am in southern Missouri.
Okay.
In the Ozarks.
Okay, that's okay.
Kind of out in the middle of things.
What can I do for you?
Well, I was, I'm kind of surprised if I get this, because I was going to give a guess on the plant.
The mystery photograph?
Okay. Yeah. The first time I looked at it, I thought, well, that's a dogwood, because that's what the blossom looked like. And I showed it to Dusty, and he said, because he works in the forest and stuff, so he knows his trees. He said, well, that's a dogwood. And I'm like, then why hasn't anybody gotten it?
Well,
so we think it's a dogwood.
It's not a dogwood. It's an interesting guess. The leaves of dogwood are a little bit, I don't know, the veins are a little bit more distinctive, I think.
Are they?
Yeah, maybe a little bit harder looking. That's a pretty good guess, though. But no, this dogwood doesn't have foliage that turns red in the summertime.
Well,
that's
and
the
I
key.
Thought I heard you say that. I've been working around in the kitchen and stuff, and I thought I heard you say that it turns red, but I wasn't sure what it was that turned red.
Yeah, the foliage turns red, and then it turns a deeper red or purple in the fall. This is a little bit tricky because the photograph
sounds like poke.
Well, it's got a little bit of a look like poke salad a little bit, but no, it's a woody tree. It's a favorite tree of mine. It has one little flaw. It tends to sucker a little bit, and you have to deal with that. Yeah, suckers at the base, sends up the little sucker shoots from the base of the tree. But the it's very closely kin to one of our native trees that we have here in this part of the world. It'll grow, though, just about anywhere in the United States. I had planted one that I got from the Heard Museum when they had a plant sale, and I had not taken care of the tags like I often do, and I forgot what the name of it was, and I was doing a video shoot in Wichita, Kansas. And I was at their botanical gardens. I was going through, and I saw this beautiful red tree, and I went over, and there was the name of it at the base of the tree, and I was able to rename mine at my house. But not dogwood. Good guess, though.
Well, all right. I hope somebody gets it, because now I'm excited to find out what it is.
Well, if nobody gets it, I'll tell everybody what it was next week, and we'll identify it on the website.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's see what Elaine has to say. Milton, Delaware. Hi, Elaine.
Hello, Dr. Garrett. I have a flowering Kwanzaa cherry that it's a young one. I've had it probably 4 or 5 years. And last year, the center stem on the top died, you know, and all the other leaves were green. So I cut it off. And it came up this spring, and it didn't have flowers on it like I thought it should have. It's a young tree, but I thought it still might flower some, you know. So now it has done the same thing. The two branches in the center have died, and it's got the green branches all around it. So I went out and made sure that the flare was uncovered, you know, because this was a young tree.
Good for you.
And so the flare is uncovered, but here it is with dead branches right in the center, the tall ones in the middle again. And so, you know, I don't know what could be causing it. I mean, I have a healthy garden. Everything else
looks good.
Yeah.
Well, I don't either. There's something pretty dramatic that's going on. Make sure you expose the flare very dramatically, not just a little bit.
Okay.
And use what we call the sick tree treatment, and it's explained on my website on dirtdoctor.com. It's to aerate the root zone, and then while the holes are open, and go way out beyond the drip line.
But tell me how to aerate the soil.
Well, you rent an aerator that pulls plugs out of the ground, or you hire a contractor or a nursery that will come and do it for you, or you can go the liquid route, and that is to use hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide will provide an oxygenation process. And the way it works is you mix the hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store, the 3% stuff, you know, that you use on cuts and scrapes, mix it with water, 50-50, and drench throughout the root zone. That provides oxygen, and it kills bacteria at first, and then it quickly starts to help get the beneficial microbes going. So that's a way of doing it without having to poke holes in the ground. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Let's grow the perfect tomatoes with Espoma Organic Tomato Tone. Tomato Tone is a rich all-natural fertilizer with slow-release formula for continuous feeding. Plus, Tomato Tone contains BioTone, a blend of organic ingredients and microbes to help roots grow larger for more robust harvests. Tomato Tone is safe for people and pets. Just visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Tomato Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Texas Natural Feeds offers the finest quality non-soy, non-GMO, non-medicated feeds available on the market. Their elite line of feeds combines organic alfalfa, organic kelp, yummy peanut meal, omega-3, essential amino acids, over 60 trace minerals, direct-fed probiotics, and vitamins to make tasty and nutritious poultry feeds. They also produce quality sheep, goat, pig, and rabbit feeds. Ask for Texas Natural Feeds in your favorite store. Visit their website at texasnaturalfeeds.com or call 254-829-1317 today.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Okay, Mary Rose tells me that Dom is in Hesperus, Colorado. Hello, Dom.
Good morning, sir. I've been growing a garlic here. It's called, some people call it red garlic. Some people call it Spanish garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And at maturity, it has a bulb that's probably 3 inches across. And it never has more than 4 to 5 cloves per bulb. And okay. It's good stout garlic. Now, I was just wondering, is there anything special for garlic? I've been just using just regular old steer manure each year is what I turn in. I didn't know if garlic it has a special food.
And no, not really. You just need to be careful with any kind of a manure-based product these days because so much of the hay out there that's grown is sprayed with broadleaf herbicides, and there's two on the market that are very slow to break down and can contaminate the compost. So be careful about that. But other than that, garlic uses the same basic organic program that we recommend for everything. We grow a lot of garlic, and I just use the normal techniques.
Okay. We've got a lot of acidic soil here. Most part native vegetation is gavel oak, pinon, mm-hmm. and western red cedar.
Right.
And so I don't believe that garlic likes acidic soil. And so I would hesitate to use native vegetation, as an organic product to mix in with the soil.
I wouldn't have any problem with that at all. You get a neutralizing and a balancing effect that really isn't going to create a problem there for you. I would try to get some soft rock phosphate added to your situation there. You probably have granite in the soil already, some nice rock minerals. And so just keep doing what you're doing and using the organic techniques. Be careful. Do a test of the compost tea every now and then by growing some peanuts and watering the peanuts with the compost tea. If there's any contamination, it'll fold the leaves up just almost instantly. We've got some really bad clicking noise on your phone. I need to run on to some other people, but on the garlic, just stick with the basic program. It doesn't need anything special at all, okay?
Okay, thank you. I know I've had a lot of connection problems, and so thank you for your time. I do appreciate it.
Okay, Dom. Talk to you again. Bye-bye. Let's see what's up with Lynn in Ovilla, Texas. Hello, Lynn.
Hello, Howard. I have this 40-pound trash can out on our property that I've been putting all the discards, like vegetable peels, whatever, pasta, anything that's old in the fridge,
mm-hmm.
in it. But, and it's like a soupy mess, and because I've been too tired to, you know, to make, turn it into compost right now. I plan to do that, but, and it's got a lot of those army worms, I guess, in
them. Well, those are the maggots of the black soldier fly, and that's no problem at all. That's exactly what I do, Lynn. It's not toxic or anything. I see the question here on the computer. I put that stuff, once it's all soupy and broken down like that, into the big compost pile. No problem at all.
It's not creating methane then?
No, it's no problem at all. That's the way you manage it, to keep the wild animals out of it. When you put it in the big pile now, it won't attract the animals. It smells pretty bad. But if it's mixed in with leaves and shredded tree trimmings and things like that, the carbon will blend with it, and the smell will go away.
Well, I feel better now that I'm not doing something bad.
I do the same thing.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Howard.
Thanks for calling. Let's see what Mike's guess for the mystery photograph is. Calling from Rockwall. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Howard. I guess, is that a 4 o'clock?
A 4 o'clock? No, it's a tree. I thought I'd mentioned that a couple of times.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's a tree.
Okay, well, my wife's got 4 o'clocks all over the place. It's a nice plant to fill in a hole.
Yeah, I have it too. You got to be careful. It can get a little rambunctious at times.
Yeah,
and
you got to beat it back.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, thanks for playing.
Bye-bye.
I see you. I came up with a hard one again, I guess. Wayne in Dallas next up. What's up?
Good morning, Howard. Real quick, I told you before I had gnats. You told me neem. I've been using that. They're still driving me crazy, going up a nose. And
well, what's better than neem, Wayne, I should have mentioned to you if I didn't, is the BTI, the same stuff
that
we use for mosquitoes.
I went up to one of the stores and got that. Still nothing. They're still getting out of hand. Can I use nematodes? And will what I've used before affect the nematodes?
Well, you can, but if the BTI didn't solve it, Wayne, you got something going wrong. You're watering too much. You got water standing. You got something rotting, old fruit or something like that around, because the BTI ought to knock it out and eliminate the problem.
Wow. Okay, so try the BTI once I let it.
Well, try the BTI and then just cut back on your watering. Just be more dramatic about helping things to dry out more.
To the point of wilting?
Yeah, before it wilts. But if you get it back dry enough to where it's proper, the fungus gnats, along with the BT, will not be a problem.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it, and good luck. Keep me posted. I'm Howard Garrett, and I've enjoyed being with you. Fast moving show today. A lot of good stuff. I hope I've been able to help you. Those of you in nature's way in the rain and everything down on the coast, good luck to you. And I'll see everybody in a week. Enjoy your gardens out there and go organic and enjoy those very, very healthy gardens. And I'll see you next time.